We'll turn our attention now to our sermon text for the day, which continues this theme of looking for God at work in us and around us. It comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. And before I read these verses, I'd like, Kirk, for you to put the map up on the screen, because in this, don't worry, it'll get zoomed in. In this sermon text, in this passage from Acts 16, there are a series of places that are named, and it charts part of Paul's second missionary journey. The Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul, went on four missionary journeys that are recorded in Acts anyway, and on the second of these two, he traveled in sort of a counterclockwise fashion, as you see outlined by the dark line on the map there. You can't really see the borders too well, but on the right-hand side is Syria and Israel, the Middle East, and up above is what we call Turkey today, and over into Greece and Italy, and the northern coast of Africa is on the bottom. So he kind of traveled around the Mediterranean area there. And Kirk, if you'd click on that, oh, look at that, isn't that fancy? PowerPoint can do amazing things. On this portion of his journey, he travels where we are in Acts 16. He travels from Troas, which is a city on the right-hand side that's in modern-day Turkey, and crosses the Aegean Sea up into what we would call Greece today, Neapolis and Philippi, in a region that was known as Macedonia. You see the big word Macedonia angled on the left-hand side. Give you that, and Kirk, you can leave that up on the screen as I read these verses from Acts chapter 16 to give you a little bit of a geographical foothold as to what we're talking about here. Acts 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to God's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this snapshot of a missionary journey, for the seemingly random conversations that sprung up, and how you used the relationship between Paul and the people of Philippi, and especially Lydia, to bring about life change and spiritual growth. Help us in these moments to think carefully about the conversations we have and how you might be at work in us and through us in the midst of those moments. We pray this in Jesus' name. This week I had a fun experience, an enjoyable experience. Kirk, we're through with the map, so you can throw up the next picture so we don't worry about geography too much. I had a fun experience this week involving my cell phone. Now, you might be aware that in this particular building, in this particular part of the county, there's not really great cell phone reception. It's a little spotty. And for however many years I've been here, I've not been able to have phone calls, cell phone calls, or text people from my office. It's just not, my phone has not had reception here. It's just been a fact of life. Well, the fun thing is that a few months ago, I purchased online a device from AT&T, who is our cell phone provider. This is not a paid promotional or anything. But I purchased a little device from them online, through eBay, called a microcell tower. And it's a little thing that sits on the desk and plugs into the internet and functions like a little mini cell tower that's supposed to broadcast a cell signal so you can get reception when you're, you know, within reasonable distance of it. We have one of these devices at our house, the Parsonage, and it works just fine up there, but it doesn't reach all the way out here. So I got a second one to work here in the office so I could have cell reception here. And I plugged it in, set it up, and it didn't work. I did everything I was supposed to do. I even talked to the tech support people online, and everything was working on my end of things, and it just wasn't connecting to my phone. This is 3-4 months ago. And I talked to the lady there, and she said, well, it's just a problem on our end of things, AT&T's end of things, and sometime it'll work itself out. Well, this week, I was busy working on this sermon, and I had the phone there, doing nothing but being a paperweight, so I thought. And all of a sudden, it comes to life. It starts ringing, and I look at it, and I think, this is a little odd. And sure enough, it says in the upper left-hand corner, AT&T microcell. It had finally decided to work. And so now I can get cell calls here. Isn't this amazing? And I can text people. It's wonderful. Because it really is, because a lot of the communication, right, Larry? Yeah, celebration. A lot of the communication I do with people through the week is through phone calls and texting and things like that. And now that I have this ability to do it here, it makes me a lot happier. I don't have to be missing things while I'm here. It seems kind of odd to do that. It reminds me of the commercial from Verizon. Again, not a paid promotional. But you remember from the early 2000s, the fella who's known for being the Verizon guy, and he'd always say it with me, can you hear me now? Right. You all know where that was going. Very good. It reminds me of that commercial because now I can actually hear people, and it's really a wonderful thing. It really is a good thing to be able to hear people when they want to talk. That's one of our deepest relational needs, isn't it? To be able to be heard by somebody when we want to talk. And it's really a blessing to have someone there, whether it's a pastor or a friend or a relative or a stranger in a hot tub, to have someone there to hear you when you want to talk. When we think about conversations, we usually think about people talking together. The operative verb there is talking. We're doing talking, lots of talking. One of the dangers, though, in any conversation is that we get so focused on what we're going to say that we forget what a conversation really is, and it's two people listening to each other. Conversation is not so much the talking that happens, but the listening that happens. It's really easy for us to think so much about what we're going to say next that we don't hear what is happening, what is being said, what is being spoken or not spoken to us. It's just kind of the human way to talk more than we listen. And it's even true for those of us who consider ourselves to be listeners, good listeners. We can do a lot and lot and lot of talking. I find that to be true even in my own life, even right now. I'm the one who's talking and not doing a lot of listening. And if you were here last week, you might remember that there was a moment toward the end of our service between the sermon and the Lord's Supper that we shared together where I was doing a lot of talking because that's kind of what I do. And our brother Tony stood up on the other side of the sanctuary there and I honestly didn't know what to do. I didn't know why he was standing, and I didn't know what was going on. I thought at first, my first instinct was a functional thing. Maybe he was going to help share communion. That was my honest first reaction, so I thought, well, you know, he'll take care of it. I talked with him this week and found out that that was not the case. He was wanting to share with the congregation. There was something that had happened in his life, and he wanted to share his experience I won't burden you with the details because I don't know that he would want to do that today. But in any case, he was standing to speak, but I was not in a posture to listen because I was so focused on what I was going to say next. So I apologized to him and found out what he wanted to share and we mended that part of the relationship. But just bring that as an illustration to say it's so easy for us to do all the talking and not to listen. And I think it's easy for us to do that in our relationship with God, too. So often, when we do the thing that we call prayer, we do all the talking. We lay out all our requests, all our concerns, all our needs, as if the Lord wasn't already aware of them or hadn't already heard us in our hearts when we spoke them to Him the first time or something like that. So often when we pray, we do all the talking. And I wonder about that one-sided kind of relationship. What if God wants to speak to us? Would we be sensitive enough to hear the God space within ourselves, to hear God's voice within us when we pray? Could prayer be a two-way form of communication? Could God be asking us, "Can you hear me now?" It's that kind of listening to God that is crucial to this story of Paul and Lydia in Acts 16. Paul listens to God, and then he listens to the people of Philippi for a whole week. And then Lydia listens to the message of God through Paul. She and her whole household become believers in Jesus and are baptized to mark the beginning of a new journey in their lives of faith. All of this took place, this entire story took place, because Paul was willing and able to listen to God, who spoke to him in the form of a dream, a vision at night. You may or may not have the same opinion as apparently Paul did about dreams, that they could be God's voice. I typically don't remember my dreams. Last night I did, and it's really weird. I spent all night chasing down dogs. I don't know why, but my dog Jake and other neighborhood dogs that I had never seen before were just running wild in the neighborhood, and I, in my dream, lost a night of sleep because I was up bringing all the dogs back to where they needed to be and chastising the people who were in my home doing whatever they were doing and leaving doors open so Jake could run outside again. I don't know what that means. And I'd be open to hearing your interpretation later on. Be willing to listen to that. In the world of psychology, they say that usually your dreams are some kind of manifestation of your own personal issues. So I don't know what it is in my life that needs to be reined in. But in any case, for whatever reason, Paul paid attention to this dream and realized that it was God speaking to him. "Come over to Macedonia and help us," he heard in his dream. Paul is not a stranger to dreams like this. You might remember that it was a dream that brought him to Jesus in the first place, a vision, a waking vision on the road to Damascus. Paul himself, then known as Saul, saw a blinding light from heaven. It blinded him, so he did not see much anymore, but then heard the voice of Jesus, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Because he was persecuting Christians and thereby doing to Jesus the very same thing. Paul understood the power of a dream in his own life. So when he had this dream of a stranger from Macedonia begging for help, he recognized it as a message from God. Just imagine if Paul had decided that it was not worth remembering. If he had ignored that dream, he might not have ever gone to Macedonia or to Philippi, the city that he found himself in. He might not have ever met Lydia. Lydia might not have ever heard the message of Jesus. And even our New Testament might look very different, because there's a letter in the New Testament called Philippians, written from Paul to the church at Philippi, which as yet did not exist. It had its beginnings in this very story, where believers began to grow in the city of Philippi. No story of transformation in Philippi, no letter to the Philippians. Our Bible would look very different. Many, many lives have been changed and transformed because Paul was sensitive to the voice of God. Can you hear me now? But there's another layer to this story. The encounter between Paul and Lydia happens not just so that Lydia can hear about Jesus. I mean, it's wonderful that her life is transformed and she accepts the message of the good news of Jesus. But the listening in this relationship goes in both directions. Lydia listens to Paul as he introduces her to Jesus, but Paul listens to Lydia too. She invites him and his companions to stay with her at her home, to establish a home base there in Philippi. This might just seem like a nice gesture or a pleasant act of hospitality that Lydia is offering, but it's more than that. The rest of Acts 16 tells the rest of Paul's story in Philippi. After this encounter with Lydia, one day then, Paul meets a young woman who is possessed by an evil spirit and can tell the future. And that's how her owners are making a profit off of her. They're manipulating her and using her for her gift to tell what happens in the future. Paul sees that she is imprisoned by this evil spirit, casts out the spirit, and she is set free, much to the chagrin of the owners of this girl. They become very incensed at Paul and his companions, and so they accuse him of charges and have him thrown in jail. Paul and Silas, his companion, are thrown in jail. And that night, they are singing hymns to God in prison, and an earthquake comes and shakes the foundations of the prison, and all the doors open up wide, providing freedom for all those who were imprisoned. And the jailer, in charge of the jail, whose one job was to keep the doors locked, realizes now the whole thing is lost. And so he decides he's going to kill himself. But Paul says, don't kill yourself. We're all here. No one's run away. Everything's fine. And the jailer comes to know Jesus. Paul introduces the jailer to Jesus, just as he did to Lydia earlier. And the jailer and all of his household, just like Lydia and all of her household, are baptized and come to faith in Christ. And after that traumatic night of being thrown in jail and surviving an earthquake and having a jailer on suicide watch, Paul and Silas go back home to Lydia's house. It is their home base while they are in Philippi. It is their refuge after such a traumatic experience. Lydia provides much more than just a gesture of hospitality to Paul and his friends. She offers a home. Their relationship went both ways. Lydia listened to Paul, and Paul listened to Lydia, and everyone benefited. Everyone was strengthened, and the kingdom of God advanced because people were sensitive to listen deeply to each other. Ultimately, in this story, we can see the hand of God at work. We can see that the Holy Spirit was moving in Paul's life and in Lydia's life. This was not just a chance encounter. It was a divine opportunity for transformation. Lives are transformed, and everyone benefits when followers of Jesus learn to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Can you hear me now? God asks of us. Listening is such a crucial skill for us to learn. It's a skill that can be developed. Some of us are more natural listeners than others, but all of us can improve in our ability to hear each other and to hear God's voice as He speaks to us. We all should cultivate a lifestyle of learning to listen to God and to other people on a deep and spiritual level in our everyday lives. In our pursuit of God's space, this space in which God is working within us and among us, in which we're learning to have spiritual conversations with people in a natural way, our first step was to notice God at work in someone's life. And then our next step was to serve someone without any desire other than just to serve. while we are noticing and serving what God is doing in other people's lives, then we can be listening carefully to the deepest needs and challenges that another person is facing. Simply listening in order to hear the other person completely. It's a challenge for us to listen. If I were to ask you, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but yeah, if I were to ask you to pair up, to find a partner, someone who's not related to you, okay, so you're going to be looking around, somebody that you don't share home with, right, and you'd have to find someone to get next to them and then share a concern, a challenge, something that is difficult in your life, okay? So Jeremy, partner up with somebody. And you're going to share a concern, a challenge, something that is challenging in your life, right? Okay, what are you going to do? What are your steps?
My steps?
Yeah. First, you're going to...
I'm going to figure out what I'm going to share, what I'm willing to share.
Okay, first you're going to find out what you're going to and willing to share, right?
Yeah.
And then what?
I don't know.
You need to find someone to talk to, right? So that'll be part of it, too. It's interesting that you focused on the thing that you would share first, right? I think you're not alone in that, right? The first thing you might think of is, who am I going to have to talk to? But probably the more important thing you're going to think of is, what am I going to say? And what am I going to be willing to share to somebody who might be a complete stranger to me? It might not be, and I'm not picking on you, but it might not be your first instinct, any of our first instinct, to think, what am I going to hear from this other person? If you're given a task like this, to share something challenging, you're going to be thinking about your own stuff. And as you're sharing your thing, it's going to be very difficult for you to hear what the other person is saying. Or if, Jeremy, you're sitting with somebody and they're telling you their challenge first, if I'm in your shoes, I'll pick on myself. I'm going to be thinking, oh, this is great, they're telling me their deepest concern, but how am I going to put mine into words, right? Listening is so much more challenging than talking, but it's something that's so important for us to do because people might very well be bearing their souls in our very hearing, and God might be using that moment to bring about growth in us and in the people around us. Your action step then this week is not something forced, like I'm going to make you have a conversation with somebody here and now. But I'm going to encourage you to have a conversation with somebody in your world, in your everyday life, this week. To listen, just to listen to someone. If you're noticing God is at work in someone's life, if you have an opportunity to serve someone, just listen to what they have to say. Ask a probing question or two. What did that experience mean for you? Oh, do you mow the lawn here every week? Is this something that you do for your income? Is this part of your work? Is this a volunteer thing that you do? Find out more about the person and see if you can just listen to see what God is up to in that person's life without any other kind of agenda of saying, well, I've got to introduce him to Jesus because Paul did that. All in good time. We'll have opportunities to share our faith in Christ. All in good time. But the first thing to do is to listen. Paul spoke to Lydia about Jesus, but he spent several days there in Philippi just being with people, all in good time. Listen deeply to someone in your life this week and see where that conversation might go. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for hearing us when we pray. We give you thanks for speaking to us through your word and when we pray. Help us, Lord, to listen for your voice carefully this week and to listen for the voices of those around us, that we might engage in meaningful spiritual conversations with people that might be meaningful for us as well as for them. Help us to find our refuge in you and to find comfort in the relationships that you provide for us. We give you thanks for using us for the purpose of broadening your kingdom, for sharing the good news of Jesus with those around us. Walk with us as we depart from this place on a journey of listening to you and to the world around us. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name.